All right, let's everybody find a seat now. While you're getting your Bibles open there, I want to mention two or three things right quick. First of all, don't forget the service this evening. Visit with Mom, give her a phone call, do what you can. Get back here tonight. 6 o'clock, we have a very, very, very special service planned for tonight. So I trust you'll be right back here in your place and see what we got for you tonight. And then Wednesday, we have our Wednesday evening Bible teaching, preaching. We had a tremendous study this last Wednesday night. We're talking about responsible Christian living. Responsible living. You hear everywhere you go, people say, be responsible. You should be responsible. And that's true. What does the Bible talk about responsible Christian living? That's what we studied on Wednesday night. And I'm telling you, it was good. Part of being responsible is being in church regularly. That's part of being a responsible adult. And so that'll be Wednesday night. Come pray and bring somebody with you. And then Saturday we're going visiting, 9:30, with our bus routes. Let's ride on through the spring and the summer. Amen. Don't miss it. Come pray. Also, that trip, we have a youth trip to Virginia, to the youth rally in Virginia. That'll be June 11th, 12th, and 13th. And you need to be making your plans, all the young people that are planning on going. We have a great time every year. We really do. Youth rally in Daint. It's Dante, D-A-N-T-E. They call it Daint, Virginia, and June the 11th. All right, let's get our Bibles open here this morning. I want you to open your Bible to Exodus chapter number 2. And while you're opening there, I'd like to introduce the message this morning. And I'd like to preach on the subject, a good mother. A good mother. What does the Bible say about a good mother? The impact of good mothers on our history in this country is immeasurable. You can't estimate the honor and the things that are... I don't know if you realize this or not, but this church you're sitting in right now would not be here, I don't doubt a bit, would not be here if it hadn't been for my mother. No doubt in my mind. Now, that's how important mothers are. That's why you mothers should never be made to feel like you're subpar or down on the list if you stay at home and raise children. You can't do anything greater than raise godly children for the glory of God. Don't let these career-seeking, egotistical ladies put a guilt trip on you and make you feel beneath them because you're not pursuing a career and doing it. And there's nothing wrong with that if God, it's what God calls you to do, but there's nothing greater you can do than raise children for the glory of God. Dr. George Stewart was a great man one time. He said, I owe everything I am, religiously and morally, to the authority of a good mother. He planned a trip one time to Europe. And him and a bunch of his buddies was going to tour Europe. And he was going to go, and his mother, a godly woman, said, George, you can't go. He said, Mom, I'm looking forward to it. We're all packed. We're ready to go. She said, I prayed about it. God said, do not go, can't go. And he feared the prayers of his mother. He went and told his friends. He said, I can't go. They said, why? He said, my mom told me I can't. He's a grown man. And they said, well, they laughed at him. And he said, if my mom prayed and God told her I shouldn't go, I wouldn't go for $1 million. That's how much respect and honor he had for his mother. And he didn't go. And the ship sank, and all of his friends were killed. That's influence and power of a godly mother. Let's take our Bibles and look in Exodus chapter 2 this morning. I want to tell you about three different mothers in the Bible. I want to tell you about a mother, first of all, who protects her children. This mother's name was Jochebed. She's in Exodus chapter 2. Her son, you'll know his name, Moses. It's amazing that a lot of times nobody ever hears the mama's name, but everybody knows the son's name. It's like Martin Luther, the great reformer Martin Luther, the preacher Martin Luther, back in the 1500s. who preached one of the greatest sermons the world's ever heard and brought about a reformation. That Martin Luther, the great preacher. Nobody ever heard of his mother. You know what? His mother was a coal miner's wife who often went without food so little Martin could go to school. You have to help me out back there, fellas. Down just a little bit, please. Now, this morning, Moses' mother in Exodus chapter 2, look at it, verse number 1. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Goodly, good looking. That's Old Testament, Old English words for a pretty, beautiful child. She, and every woman thinks that about her baby, right? When that baby's first, isn't it beautiful? Now, personally, I ain't never seen one as pretty when they was first born. They all look like they're just swunk up chigger. After a while, they do a little better. But every woman, when she first sees them, she thinks that's the most beautiful baby that's ever been. And she hid Moses for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Now, you that know this story know what was going on here. The king, Pharaoh, had passed a law that every Hebrew child should die. He wanted rid of them. He wanted every male child to die. If it was a little girl baby, she could live. They could use them in slavery. But if it was a boy baby, they want him to die to cut down that population of Hebrews. Now, Pharaoh in the Bible is a type and picture of the devil. And the devil's always been after those Jews. And still is today through governments and people of this of the world, of the land. You never, ever, ever do we want to turn our back on Israel, ladies and gentlemen. The day our nation turns our back on Israel will be the day we sign our spiritual and economic suicide. As far as the world's going to learn, God said, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you to Israel. But anyway, she hid that baby. She said, I'm not going to get him. They were killing little boy babies. Now, when she had her baby, she said, they're not going to get mine. They're not going to get him. I don't know what I got to do. So she hid him for 3 months. Every once in a while, they'd come by, knock on the doors, looking for babies. She hid him 3 months. After 3 months, she couldn't hide him no more. I don't know. Maybe he started crying loud, or maybe I don't know if he started pitching a fit, or word got out that she was hiding a baby. I don't know. But for some reason, she could only hide that baby for 3 months. Then, when she said this, she said, I'm not going to let him have him. A lot of people said, oh, just give it up. Let them have him for adoption. Get you an abortion. Do whatever. She said, no, they are not getting my baby. They are not getting it. I'm going to keep this baby and I'm going to... And then she said, well, she said, I know what I'll do. She put it in an ark, a little bitty thing like this, and put pitch. That would be like tar on the inside and out so it wouldn't leak, and put it in the river among the rushes, bulrushes. Then you know the story. She went back over here and hide. And they said, you got a baby in your house? Nope, no baby here. And she's down there in there. She thought, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm not going to let them have my child. That ought to be the attitude of every mother here. I am not going to let the world and the devil have my boys and girls. I'll pray over them. I'll fast over them. I'll do whatever I got to do. I will not let the world and the devil have my child. Many of them have that attitude. And you know what? She did. Her sister went and watched far off. Just so happened, Pharaoh's daughter came down there and to take a bath. That's where they took a bath in those days, in the river. And she was washing. And about that time, God spoke to that little baby and said, all right. Let it go, son. Now's your chance. He goes, wah! And she heard that thing, and they said, what is that? And she pulled it out like that and opened it up, and he went, Okay, you know, I don't have a pacifier. You had something, and he started grinning, and boy, that touched her motherly instinct heart. She didn't have a child, and she just fell in love with baby Moses, just like that. And she said, "I drew him out." That's where he got the name Moses. I drew him out, and she picked him up and said, "Oh, ain't he sweet? I want to keep it. I want to keep it." They said, "Now you know your daddy's been killing all them Hebrew babies. Your daddy'd have that thing killed. You better leave that thing alone and report it to the authorities." And she said, "No, he's too cute. He's too sweet. I just want to keep him. I just want to keep him." She said, no. They said, "No, you better turn that thing in. Your daddy said all of them got to die." And she said, what will one hurt? She didn't know who she had there, did she? Moses. One made a lot of difference, didn't it? I mean, brother, they made Charlton Heston, all of them got it rich off of that. And they pulled him out of there, and buddy, she took that little baby, and she took it home, and she said, "Lord, I don't know how to raise no young'un." And her sister, Jamie, will you turn me down, please? His sister came and looked at him, and she said, "Oh, how sweet, how sweet, how sweet. Can I help you raise it?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "He's a Hebrew baby. Will you go get me a Hebrew woman to help me raise this?" She said, "I sure will." She goes over and tells Mama, "Guess what? Guess what? Moses is all right. He's all right. Pharaoh's daughter's got him. He's being raised right in the house of Pharaoh. I know it's a public school, but God's going to take care of him. And it's the best we can do right now." And she said, "Guess what?" She said, "I get to pick a Hebrew woman to take care of him, and you're going to be it." And Moses' own mother got to go down there and be a nurse to her own baby. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that God worked that out? So that Moses' mother got to raise him and take care of him. Well, a good mother protects her children. I'm telling you, they said one time, they asked this little boy at home, they said, "Now listen." They said, "If your family had a pie and you had 10 people in your family," and asked him, "It's at school." They said, "What portion or percentage of the pie would you get?" He'd say, 1/9. They said, "No, wait a minute. You got 10 people in your family. Everybody gets a piece of pie. What percentage do you get?" He said, 1/9. They said, no, there's 10 people in your family. You're add yourself in there." He said, "How do you get 9? He'd say, "There'd be 9 pieces, because Mama would say she didn't want no pie. Mama would say she didn't want no pie." Now, everybody here that had a good mother understands that. How many of us know that our mother did without so that we could have? Lord, I remember Mom, I could tell y'all story after story after story. She washed clothes and she washed dishes till her hands, was literally raw. Washed clothes. We was talking about playing basketball this week, and I was telling Kelly about how that there was one year where me and both my sisters were on the basketball team all at the same time. I was on the JV team moving up, and they was on the varsity team, and we all three. And I remember Mom washing our uniforms, folding them things, clean socks, clean tennis shoes. And I remember she'd say, "Ball, ball, ball. I'll be glad when this ball's over with." It never was over with. There's always up with them. And you know what? I didn't pay attention to that then, but now I look back and I see what a great mother I had. Amen. What a blessing. I remember reading about a lady by the name of old Aunt Tilly. Tilly was a lady that lived in the Chicago area many, many years ago, back in the 30s and the 40s. And her son was accused and convicted of murder. They put him in prison for murdering a policeman. And she was convinced that her son was innocent. And they didn't have DNA and testing like we do now. And they put that boy in prison. And she went to work and she put an ad in the paper. $5,000 reward for anyone that can find the true killer and exonerate my son and get him out of prison and clear his good name. And a Chicago reporter got a hold of that story and read that story. And you know what Tilly did? She went to work. Because somebody said, "Where are you going to get $5,000? Back in 1940, that was a lot of money. And she went to work and she scrubbed floors for 11 years.
She got her a job working day and night, worked 8 hours a day, scrubbed floors 6 days a week, 3,500 nights, miles of floor, years of backache, and saved $5,000. And when she had that saved, the reporter got a hold of it. He got interested in that story and got to work on it and dug up the facts and got the courts to reopen the case. And sure enough, her boy was cleared. And in August of the late 1940s, that boy walked out of prison a free man. His mother scrubbed floors for 11 years to get her son out of trouble. Now, there ain't nobody's love like that any greater than God. That God's love is the only love greater than that. Only a mother would do that for a child. Only a mother would protect her children like that. Ladies and gentlemen, mothers protect their children. Robert Moffat was a great missionary and the tremendous, one of the greatest missionaries ever in history. And they said, when he was getting ready to leave home, they said, when Robert Moffat died, they said, when Robert Moffat was added to the kingdom of God, a whole continent was added. That's how many people he won to God. And they said that boy was getting ready to leave home, and his mama said, wait, son, wait a minute. I want you to promise me something before you leave. And he said, Mama, what is it? She said, you got to promise me something before you leave. He said, Mama, I can't promise if you don't tell me what it is. She said, no, you've got to promise me something. He said, all right, I'll promise you. What is it? She said, you promised me that you'll start every day with God. You'll read your Bible, you'll pray, you'll honor God, you'll put Him first. And he said, I'll make you that promise. And she grabbed him and said, son, I'm praying for you, and kissed him on the cheek. And later he said, that kiss is what made Robert Moffat a missionary. Ladies, can I tell you this morning, you can't do anything in the world greater than make sure your kids got faith in the Lord and live for God and go to heaven. You can't do that no better than that. You know who's the ladies of success? The ladies of success who lives her life and dies and goes to heaven, and every one of her children meet her up there and they worship the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I know people that push their kids to this, and I seen one the other day. Don't get mad at me if you do this. I'm sorry. I'm preaching. You're supposed to be listening. But I seen one the other day. I had one of these little old dance kids and making her into one little dance. I could tell by looking at that kid. That kid wasn't 11 years old. Looked like a 25-year-old prostitute. That's a shame. And that mama's pushing them. And get on there and bless them out. Dance, mom. Listen, you know what you'd be better off doing? Getting her in the choir and letting her learn the Bible and letting her learn about Jesus Christ and wind up in heaven one of these days forever and ever and ever. She don't have to be the head cheerleader or the beauty queen of school. Teach her to love Jesus Christ and our God and come out a real success in life. Amen. A real mother protects her children. But I will show you another one this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 1 in your Bible. Luke chapter number 1. You say, I ain't heard no preaching like that. You've been going the wrong kind of church, I can tell you. Luke chapter number 1. Look at verse number 5. We see secondly this morning, a real mother honors her husband. She's faithful to her husband. Her name is Elizabeth. In Luke chapter number 1, the Bible talks about her in verse number 5. And it said here, there was a days of King Herod, or the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abi. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Verse 7, they had no child. They couldn't have a child because Elizabeth was barren. She really, really wanted one, but for some reason, God had not gave her a child yet. And yet she stayed faithful to God, walked in all His commandments. She didn't get mad at God. She stayed faithful. She stayed right. She honored her husband. And eventually, of course, God gave her one. And buddy, in cases like that, when He gives you one, it's a good one. It was John the Baptist.
And brother, ladies and gentlemen, that old boy grew up and became the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said they were older. They'd stricken in years. They'd done gone past the time when you normally have kids. And they said, well, we can't never have a kid. And God looked down and God honored her for being faithful to the Lord and being faithful to church and faithful to her husband and gave her that child. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies now, you know what I've met them? I've met them now that put their dog in front of their husband. Have you? I know. I hate to ruin a good Mother's Day message with them. There's a lady. Preacher went and visited a lady not too long ago. Honest truth. And he sat down like this. And he said he walked in this room. And he said, they have white carpet. White carpet. Color my jacket. White carpet. And if you want to have white carpet, that's fine. I don't understand why you put something white and walk on it. And they wouldn't let nobody walk on it. They said, we don't go in that room. Nobody can go in that room. To me, having a room you can't go in, it's like having clothes you can't, have a car you can't drive. We can't drive that car. We'll sell that stupid thing. We can't go in that room. Change it. Sell it. We can't eat off them dishes. What are they doing in there? Anyway, I'll get back on the subject. That don't make sense to somebody like me because I'm practical. She said, we don't want to go in that room. Well, sure enough, they're sitting in there. Here come little Fufu. Little Fufu's about that tall. Done been, got his hair done. Nails done at the whatever they dog parlor. And little Fufu comes around. Little Fufu comes by and just stops and goes to the bathroom on that white carpet. And Mama goes over and jerks him up and says, bad baby, and wipes it up and gets it and sprays some on there. And this really happened. And sprayed on him, bad little baby. I'm telling you, there's something mighty nasty about a woman that'll kiss a dog in the mouth. I'm telling you, don't get mad at me. You're not supposed to kiss dogs in the mouth. I ain't kissing no dog in the mouth. That's nasty. You say little Fufu ain't nasty. You put little Fufu down a few minutes and watch where he'll put his mouth. He's a dog and he's nasty. I know y'all mad at me. I know I get myself in trouble every time. I had two ladies jump all over me for saying that in Florida. They said, well, I just didn't like what you said. I don't care what you said. She said, well, what does the Bible say? I said, the Bible said a dog returned to its own vomit. That's what it said. You want some scripture? Amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. Do you know what? Her husband come in after little Fufu had done messed up. Her husband come in and said, he's like, get them shoes off! Don't you come in there with them shoes on yet! He's out working, paying for that stuff. And paying for Fufu's dog food. And her clothes and her air condition and her big screen TV. And she blessed him out. And like, there's something wrong with a woman that puts her dog in front of her husband. All God's people said, that's right. Amen. She's faithful to her husband. You better not be nicer to Fufu than you are your husband. You're full of the devil. You say, well, he's mean. Maybe he is. But he ain't a dog. I mean, a dog? Dogs are without. That's what the Bible says. You're to be the helpmeet. I'll never forget Earlene Sheehan. Many of y'all remember Earlene up in Marion. Her husband was Tater Sheehan. Tater was town drunk. Old Tater, he'd get drunk. And I remember many, many times I'd meet him uptown. And if he's drinking, he'd talk to me. But if he's sober, you know, he'd just go the other way. There's a preacher, I ain't on him. He'd pass out on that old road over in Stumptown, Marion. And they said Earlene, with 9 kids, would go up there with a flashlight. He'd fall in a kudzu vine, brother, passed out. And they'd sit there with a flashlight and sit around him at night so he wouldn't get snake bit. Him drunk. E.V. Hill, the great preacher out there in California, I think was the preacher when Reggie Sadler got saved, that big church in Los Angeles. He said they had a bomb threat. The bomb, thought a bomb was in her car, and the mama got out that morning, E.V. Hill's wife, she said, "I don't want my husband," and got in the car and test drove it before she let him get in it, because she thought, if somebody's going to get hurt, I want it to be me. And there ain't no love like a real mother loves her husband. Thirdly, this morning, I'll say this. The third thing about a good mother is she has faith in God. Turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me show you one more right quick, and we'll go. 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy here this morning. And I want us to look at verse chapter number 1. 2 Timothy. And this is Timothy's mother. The young preacher, Timothy, think about that. What a blessing. His mother was a great Christian. Look at here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that's in you also." He said, "Timothy, you're my son in the faith. And you got your faith from your mother, Eunice. And she got it from her mother, Lois. And I'm persuaded that it's in you also." Where's Timothy's daddy? Don't mention him. Moses' daddy is never mentioned in having a part in getting him saved out of them bulrushes. Never. Think about that, ladies. Think about the opportunity you got to set that little boy or that little girl on your knee and say, "Jesus is real," and read them the Bible and let them feel it. Let them feel your prayers. Now, it's not enough just to tell them. Let them feel God. That's why it's important where you go to church. Take them to a church where you can feel God's power and God is real to the people. It's not just enough to go to church. I mean, there's churches everywhere, and none of them's perfect. But I'm telling you, take them where they'll know there is a God, and He's real. Amen? Have faith in God. I read about a lady who prayed for her son for 60 years. And he's out living like a devil. And she prayed for him for years and years and years and years and years. And finally, she got a phone call. "Mom, I'm saved. And Mom, I'll meet you in heaven." 1 week later, she died. Lord called her home. 60 years. And when her work was done, the Lord took her out 1 week later. Thought about Miss Sue's mom, Miss Mabel. She cooked a good meal for me one time. And she was always nice and respectful to me as a preacher. And every time I'd see her, she'd talk. And I mean, she would preach to her. She preached to her kids. And she lived right. And she served God. And now she's gone to heaven. How can you improve on that, ladies? How can you improve on that? You want to be a success in life? Don't get your life pattern from Hollywood, for heaven's sake. They can't straighten out nothing. If Hollywood's your example, you are in trouble. You need to get your example from these mothers that I've read to you about this morning. Governor Brewer was appointed to that high office many years ago. And when he was, they came to his mother and they said, "Wow, isn't this the proudest day of your life?" And she said, "Well, I'm happy for him, but I was just as happy when he got right with the Lord and joined the church, the governor." And boy, they found out she said that. And she said that at their next meeting, one of the men said, "I'm making a resolution that we share that with all the young men of our commonwealth and tell them that his mother said she was just as proud of him when he got right with God as when he became the governor of the state." Are you listening? A preacher in Texas told about a woman who prayed for her son for over 50 years. He was in prison for so many, many years. He was in prison.
And she got a telegram or a letter that he had died in prison. And she wouldn't accept it. She said, no, there's been some kind of mistake. This can't be true. God promised me. God promised me. And sure enough, they checked that thing out and a mistake had been made. They sent the letter out to the wrong person and her boy was still alive and did get saved. And God called him to preach. There's your mother. There's your mother. There's your mother that said, I ain't letting hell have my kid. My kids ain't going to go to hell. I may be a failure and everything else in life, but my kids are not going to hell. Amen. Let's be that kind of mother this morning. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning.